Welcome back to another exciting episode of Cyber Defense TV. I'm your host, Gary Malevsky, and the publisher of Cyber Defense Magazine. Today, I have a very special guest in the CEO hot seat, Amir Ofek. Amir is the CEO of a company that is very interesting, CyberInt. CYBERINT.com. Why'd you name it CyberInt?
Well, we named it CyberInt because we deal with cyber intelligence. That's how we started, actually.
Okay, now there's so many companies talking about AI and machine learning and all this stuff, but they're still getting breached, right? And these tools are really not advanced enough. What are you doing that's different and innovative? Are you looking out on the dark web? Are you putting out honeypots? What are you doing to help me from being breached?
Okay, so I think the key aspect that we are unique about is that we look at the organization from the outside in. We are actually looking out there where all the threat actors, the hackers are conceiving their plans and detect those plans early on in the game and detect plans that are very targeted towards the specific organization that we are coming to protect.
And it sounds kind of preemptive, by the way.
It is a bit preemptive. I would say it's a bit proactive because we cannot preempt the attack, but we are proactive about it. So we know about the attack early on before it actually happens or before it becomes a colossal damage.
So let's say I'm a big e-commerce company. The Christmas holidays are coming up and, you know, that's the worst time because we've got all these issues of a lot of demand to buy product. And it's also the best time to be hacked. A week, a month, maybe 2 months before, someone on the dark web starts talking about how they're going to break into my e-commerce company. Are you going to know about that?
Exactly. That's a perfect example. So most of our customers are online retailers. Christmas season is peak season for the hackers, peak season for the fraudsters. And that's exactly where we come into play to help loss prevention in a major way. So yes, as you correctly stated, 2 months in advance, sometimes 3 months in advance, the fact we are monitoring all of the online assets of that e-commerce organization or that retailer, we can already see any kind of notions, any kind of plans, any kind of ideas, thoughts of fraudsters or threat actors to actually go and attack that organization. We pick up those early communications or early indicators that are talking about stealing credit cards or stealing vouchers or stealing credentials of the customers in order to do some scams around them or building some tools that are around credential stuffing that are going to attack the organization, the e-commerce engine on Christmas Day, for example. And the fact we know about it well in advance and we can monitor and get as much information as needed enables then our customers to protect themselves in the best way they can.
Let's go back in time a little. The Carbonac breach, different kind of organizational breach. Well-designed malware going after Russian banks caused ATM machines in Russia to spit out money. The rubles were flying everywhere. I think they lost $1 billion. And this was custom-designed malware to exploit users on networks, to eavesdrop, to even watch through cameras and keyboard behavior, and to really plan out a six-month attack.
Yes.
So they, and that planned attack, they were already on the network for 6 months before they actually got the money. But before that, they were planning this attack. If those banks were your customers, would they have known 3 months before that this was coming?
Most probably. Again, I cannot say that we are 100% bulletproof. I would say anybody saying that is a fool. Mm-hmm. But most of those cases, especially when there is an organization or a group of people, and it's not just like a lone wolf or an insider that is trying to do the job, we would probably kind of find some indications of that attack.
Now, there's a lot of issues with language on code and malware. For example, everyone knows, or now they believe, that the attack on Sony Pictures Entertainment was by the DPRK. The malware was written on the Red Star operating system from North Korea. It came off of IP addresses from China Telecom that was used by the North Korean government. So it kind of was obvious after the fact, not before and during. Those kinds of exploits, it's written in a different language. You know, there's certain IPs in certain countries. Are you watching for that? Are you even watching people communicate in different languages?
Yes. So we are looking at the threat actors globally. We have in our team people from that have capabilities in various languages, all the way from Mandarin, Korean, Japanese, Spanish, Arabic, Persian, Russian, Portuguese, Spanish, Hebrew. All languages. The fact of the matter is that our key essence is the technology, is the platform. And the platform is language agnostic at the end of the day. So the moment you teach the platform various kind of common jargon or common slang that is being used by the threat actors, which we need, of course, the human power in order to do so, the machine actually picks up this chatter and does it automatically, regardless of which language it is in.
So on the dark web, when they're saying, I'm looking for a Foles exactly. on records, you know we've got Houston, there's a problem.
Exactly, whether it is in Chinese or not. Moreover, we pick up the information that is very targeted. So let's say in your example of a Russian bank or Sony, if Sony was our customer, we would build a profile for Sony itself, and we would pick any chatter that is talking about Sony specifically, not the malware that is out there that is now being built by the Koreans to hit somebody. And that brings actually information that is far more actionable, that is far more relevant for our customers, and far more in the right context.
Now, you said earlier on in our conversation that we can't stop breaches. I mean, they're going to keep happening. That's a fact. And there's always human factors in these issues, and people click links even though they've been trained to not fish, but not be phished. But tomorrow there's an email that says I won the lottery, so I happen to open the attachment, and it wasn't the lottery. It's the hackers winning the lottery on my organization. How do you do response? How can you help your clients respond to these breaches when they do happen, even if you give them a heads up that it's coming their way?
So first of all, because we have this outside-in approach, so we find out the information, even if it's very minimal at a very, very early stage, that allows already to provide a response to something that can become later a much bigger problem. So at the very early stage, we know, for example, a specific company has an issue with credit card leaks. Mm-hmm. We go back, we try to find out where is this leak coming from and contain that problem, contain that issue. If we see there is a problem with their Facebook page that is being having malicious URLs being posted there, we have the capability of actually removing those malicious links automatically from the Facebook page or from the Twitter account, etc. So we have various means to deal with the problem when it's very nascent, where it's just at the very beginning of it, before it becomes a colossal damage that you need later on to do a thorough forensic investigation, etc., which we can all also do, but we are trying to avoid as much as possible.
Do you think that human resource departments and the IT departments ought to work a little more closely together?
Oh, absolutely. I think that in order to be well protected in any organization, and especially in an online digital organization that is driven by IT or by developers, you must have this strong collaboration between the security department and the IT department. The human factor at the end of the day is the weakest link. A developer that is posting a post on GitHub, that is sharing some very deep loophole within the software or within the engine, is usually the key that hackers are leveraging.
And they're not doing it on purpose. It's accidental.
Exactly. It's not on purpose. I'm not talking about, you know, insiders that are trying to harm the company. Is basically developers that are just doing their job but are not very much attuned at all points of time to security issues.
And you would notice that.
Yes, absolutely.
And educate the company on it and help them on remediation.
Absolutely. One of the other aspects that we're doing, because we're dealing with a lot of online organizations, digital organizations, which usually have a lot of a big IT team there or a big development team, we run also a lot of exercises with those team to help them actually become much more aware of cyber issues. We run simulations, proactive simulations of attacks, so they become much more aware of things that they need to be concerned about.
So this is the first company that I met, CyberInt for cyber intelligence, that's, I said preemptive, you're saying proactive. I agree with you 100%. Let's say preemptive and proactive.
Okay.
We want to get one step ahead of the next threat, and you're finding a way to get that intel to the client to get them an opportunity to beat the breach.
Exactly.
They may not beat it, but you're giving them that chance that they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Exactly. Our philosophy is that no matter what Chinese wall you have, the Mongols will always find a way around. So you really need to know that the Mongols want to get in. You really want to know that the threat actor is trying to steal your database or to steal your CEO email. And you need to know it as early as possible and react to it as early as possible. And that's where we play. We play in the early detection and in the early response.
So the earlier we can do it, the higher probability that there's a tiny bit or no data leakage at all.
Exactly.
And that's what you do uniquely.
Yes.
CyberInt is a global company?
Yes. We are a global company. We have offices in Singapore, London, New York, and our main headquarters and R&D center is in Israel. And we work with customers globally in the US, in the UK, in Singapore, in Asia in general.
That's great. And what else would you say for our viewers? Many of them are CIOs, CISOs. Do they have to be in a big business, an SMB? What kind of company would you want to target?
So we are mainly supporting e-commerce companies, usually the larger e-commerce companies out there that have a big footprint online, a big footprint on social media, on the online assets, with a lot of customer transactions that they need to protect. Those are the type of companies that we help most in.
That's perfect timing too. Yeah. Before we get close to the holidays, mm-hmm. before we see all this e-commerce boom, you need to go to cyberint.com and learn a lot more about this company and partner with them as soon as you can. Get preemptive, get proactive, defeat the breach. Anyway, this was a great episode. I really enjoyed meeting you.
Yeah, same here.
And thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And for our viewers, tune in next time for an exciting episode of Cyber Defense TV.